I'm Margie Zaraletta with the Associated Press, and this is an interview with Lifehouse. Listen and learn why they feel their song You and Me is made for drunk people, and how singer Jason Wade stole a Valentine's Day present.
Okay, my name is Bryce Soderberg, and I play the bass.
My name's Jason Wade, I sing and play guitar.
And my name's Rick Wolstenholme, and I play the drums.
Okay, I seem to remember this piece of a story, and I don't know if you're kidding or not, where, Rick, they were talking about you being by the side of the road with your drum kit, and then they came and rescued you, and that's how you got to be part of the band.
Every interview we do, we actually, Jason makes up a new story of either I was born in a bass drum, he found me, like, on Third Street.
Tell him the truth.
Now I work at Benihana's. That's another rumor Jason started.
Just tell him the truth.
I met him at a rehearsal space. That's pretty much it. But the truth of the matter is he thought I was going to beat him up. He thought I looked really mean. And I'm, like, really not mean at all. And then I just auditioned for the band. That was it.
But another true story is that he was up against two 12-year-olds for they were 15. Okay, I exaggerated.
Thanks for telling the world that.
But their moms brought them to the audition, and we were like a signed band about ready to go out on the road. And Rick got the gig by default. You were 19 at the time.
Because and I could drive. They I can make it to rehearsal.
And you were good, bro. And you were good. So there you have it.
Okay, now... Okay. Okay, now, did they make you go through any initiation when you came along?
They're still torturing me every day. It's terrible. They beat me up every morning. Yeah. Oh, wait, that doesn't make any sense. They don't beat me up. No, they're good. I haven't gone through any sort of initiation. I'm still waiting for it. It's been like a year and a half now, and nothing has happened.
We're not really pranksters, you know, so we just took him out to dinner. That was our prank.
Yeah. Ooh.
Food poisoning. He had the runs for a week.
They spiked my drinks. Yeah, no, it's been really good. No big initiation yet. We're not pranksters, so.
Okay. Now, are you touring behind the CD right now, or are you touring behind the DVD?
Probably, I would say we're touring on our CD still. We're on our second single. You and Me did really well for us, and now Blind is the song on the radio right now. And I think we're going to probably tour on this record till the end of summer, and then get back into writing mode to do another record probably in the fall.
Okay, when Blind came to you, I mean, what were the circumstances?
Blind was the only song on this record that was kind of a work in progress. I had pretty much every other song completely finished, you know, and I went to Easton, Maryland to make the record with Rick, and I had bits and pieces of it, and I played it for them one night, him and John Alasia, our producer, and they really thought that it was strong, and I was kind of... The lyric in that song is so emotional for me, and it's probably one of the most personal lyrics, so I kind of wanted to keep it to myself, and I didn't really want to record it, but these guys convinced me to kind of finish it up, and I finished it that night, and the next day we recorded it and got it in the first take, so kind of came alive on track, you know, very, very easily.
Now, when you have a song like You and Me that was just so huge,
yeah.
Did it prevent you from releasing singles when you wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, we released You and Me January of last year, so we've been working that song for a year. And, I mean, it's great when you have a successful song, but it does make it difficult to kind of, if it sticks around a lot, because I guess it's still number 5 on the Hot AC chart, so it's still really difficult for us to get another song there because people are still requesting You and Me. But it's a good problem to have, you know?
Yeah, you're kind of to the point now where the song's been around so long that it's like, oh, do you do that song?
Yeah.
I'm really sick of that song.
Yeah, exactly. Rick tells me every day that he's sick of that song. Huh, Rick?
No, I don't.
He doesn't.
Well, if I may stick on that just for a minute,
sure.
It's also, I hear people doing it in bars mm-hmm. badly.
You and Me?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Really? Have you heard bad versions?
I don't know, but that's like the kind of song, like if you were wasted and you sang it, it would be like a pirate song or something because it's got that rhythm to it. But I haven't heard a cover. We heard a cover band do Hanging by a Moment, and they sounded actually really good. But I'd like to see some wasted dude sing You and Me at karaoke. That would be like a dream come true.
Are you afraid that having a song like that will typecast you as a ballad band? Because I always thought of you as more of a rock band.
I think, I don't know, you know, it's like, We're not at the point where we're Chicago yet, putting out like 5 ballads per record. But you know, "Hanging by a Moment" was a rock song, and so now we have a rock song and a ballad. You know, but I don't think we're ballad band material yet.
Okay, well, now I know the song would be near and dear to your heart because you wrote it. But what about you guys?
Oh, it's near and dear to my heart as well. I mean, it's a 6/8 ballad. It's been good for the radio, and everyone digs it, so we're happy with it.
What does it mean to you, right?
It means to what does it mean to me? It means you guys and me. That's what it means to me.
I guess I'm thinking along the lines of, you can't walk down the street without having to play that song. I would think it would kind of grind on you after a while.
Not really. I think now it's kind of the point where my little chihuahua that I have, when I put "You and Me" on, he sings, "Oh!" He likes it. So that means it's a good one.
He does have a chihuahua. Yeah. And he does get him to make that noise. It's weird. He's probably got the best pitch for a dog I've ever heard.
Passes the chihuahua test.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. His name is Doobie.
Doobie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the band, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Doobie Brothers. If you could, would you only tour or only do studio stuff?
I don't think you can have one without the other. Because if you're just making records and you're not playing the material for your fans, that kind of defeats the purpose, you know. But I'm getting to the point where I really enjoy touring. Like, I used to just only like being in the studio and kind of being at home and writing and stuff. But now I feel like we've taken our show to the next level where we're really trying to, you know, reach out and connect to our fans and stuff and play them, get them involved in like all the new stuff that we've been playing. We're playing some new stuff in the set, playing a couple covers. So touring has really kind of become fun to all of us.
I don't know how far you can see from the stage, but when you play, I don't know, the hit,
yeah,
or the other hit, or the other hit, you know, what can you see on their faces?
For us, I feel like our fan base, most of their favorite songs are actually not singles, you know. We have a song called "Everything" off of our first record that goes over just as well as "Hanging by a Moment." And obviously we have "You and Me" now, but our fans kind of, I wouldn't want to say we have a cult following yet, but our fans that are really into us know almost all of our songs, released and unreleased, that goes all the way back to like the old days, you know, which makes it great for us to be able to throw them a song that not everybody knows, but it seems like our hardcore fan base really gets into that.
Okay. Tell me about "One Life to Live."
Tell her.
I think that's the best thing we've ever done in our whole career to do "One Life to Live." We got to meet the actors, get photos taken.
They were nice, right?
It was awesome, yeah, it was fun.
Not only that, my grandma June raised me on "One Life to Live." She used to make me these really nasty deviled egg sandwiches that smelled like really nasty. They would like stink up the whole house and make me watch "One Life to Live." So it was weird actually being on the set and reminding me of my grandma, God rest her soul.
My grandma thinks that I'm a celebrity now that I was on "One Life to Live." Before, she was like, "Lifehouse who?" And then now she's like, "Oh, you were on "One Life to Live." She wanted to take a picture with me and sign stuff. I was like, "I already have pictures with you, Grandma."
She wanted to take a picture with me, too.
What's your impression of "One Life to Live"?
We got to learn what every actor was saying on that show. Like, we just got to sit in this room for a few hours and listen to the script and everything. It's like being on a TV set. It's exciting.
I stole a prop, actually, I have to confess. It was the Valentine's Day episode, and there were these massive, you know, those little heart candies that say, like, "I love you" and "hug me"? I stole one of those, like a 3-foot prop, which they're probably going to want it back at some point, but I'm going to hang on to it for this Valentine's Day.
What does one do with a 3-foot?
Oh, you give it to your woman and score mad points. That's what you do with it. I got the one that says, "Hug me."
Excellent. You don't seem like the kind of band that we see in the tabloids, or you're coming out of Diddy's party at 4 a.m., or anything like that. Would things be different for you if you were?
Nah, we're more of the guys that are trying to break into P. Diddy's party, yeah. Not like getting Polaroided on the way out.
We weren't invited to P. Diddy's party. We got to find our own way in. We've got to crash that.
To be honest, I think we actually throw better parties at our houses than going out to the shishi kind of place. Because I can grill some damn good carne asada.
He's not kidding.
Let me tell you that.
He is actually a very, very accomplished cook.
A little patron, a little carne.
I don't know how to follow that up. So let's talk about fans.
Okay.
Fans by their nature are weird.
You know what? You know what? You're right. You just summed it all up.
What kind of things do fans do that you think normal people don't do this?
The thing that impresses me the most, we have a group of fans that have probably seen us like 45 times, and they have like their cities that we know, like 5 cities in a row we're going to see the same fans, and they will literally wait outside of the venue from like 7 in the morning. I mean, it's serious commitment, and Bryce actually brought it to my attention. How do they go to the bathroom?
Like, diapers? What?
Yeah, where do they go? Where do they go to use the restroom? Because they don't move. Because if you move, you'll like miss your spot.
Yeah.
You got to bring a sack lunch, too.
Yeah.
You got to have a sack lunch.
I actually saw one fan with the Star Wars lunch pail the other day, which I think that we share some Star Wars fans.
Yeah, we do for sure.
So 7 in the morning, you're not even in the city by that point.
No. I don't know where we are at 7 in the morning, but they're there. They're there. As soon as we roll up to the venue, they're... You know, first in line, these certain fans. It's serious commitment.
Now, what about things that fans give you?
Someone gave me a pet schloff. You know what that is?
No.
A three-toed schloff. It's this really rare, it looks like a cross between a cow and a camel. I'm dead serious, too. Rick can attest to this. And what they did is they adopted me, this schloff, and gave me a picture of it. And so I own a schloff somewhere, but I've never met him before. But I have a picture of it. This girl, Nikki, gave me a pet schloff.
So is it like the kind of, like when you adopt children overseas,
Kennedy? Yeah, it's kind of like a humanitarian.
Slave.
Yeah, slave a schloff.
Slave it. Save it. Get it, make him do your laundry.
Slave the schloff. But it's hanging up. That's probably my weirdest thing that anyone's ever given me.
I don't believe you.
I swear. No. I'm not even messing with you. I promise. True. This one
it's
is true.
It's the only thing we've said today that's true, but it is.
It
that is true.
That and that he can cook some good carne asada. That's the only truth in this interview. But someone did give me a three-toed schloff. I'm not that creative. I couldn't make that up. That's weird.
All right. What about the things that fans want from you?
Our underwear?
I don't wear any underwear.
Neither do I.
Clothing. A lot of clothing.
Anything specific, like hats or...
Underwear. He's not kidding. No. Scarves, hats, I don't know.
A fan asked me for my shoes one time when I was out by the bus, and I told him I only had one pair, so if I had more than one, I would have given them, but couldn't give up my Chucks.
Okay. Fans also have a tendency to be absolutely sure they know what your song is about.
Yeah.
Have you heard any really, like... Wow, where did you get that?
There was this Latin girl that was online that actually is convinced that I live with her and that we're lovers. And all the other fans gang up and they're like saying, you know, that she's out of her mind and stuff, and she'll write back and cuss at him in Spanish and stuff. But that's the we get some delusional fans that actually think that not only did I write the song about them, but I live with them.
Okay. So you've been around the country. What have you learned? Just because you travel more than most people ever will in their entire lives.
You learn how to live out of a suitcase. Like, when I go home, I don't even unpack. I just have my suitcase. And you do laundry every week and a half, and make sure you keep your socks clean.
Yeah.
Gotta have those clean socks. Yeah.
I've learned how to keep completely, like, always wash your hands, because I have a tendency to get sick with all the germs. It's like, we are on a lot of airplanes where there's some, like, old lady hacking, like, right next to you, so you gotta kind of keep germ-free, and you're in a different restroom almost every day, so you have to learn how to kind of, you know, put those safety seats on the toilet, you know, keep clean. That's what I have to say. That's what I've learned.
Always have good hygiene. Good hygiene. It's important.
That's got to be hard when you're...
Oh, that was perfect.
I have good hygiene. These guys look up to me.
Is that right? Okay. Rick, anything that you've learned?
Always take the top comforter off the bed because they don't wash that.
That is true. And that's what I had to learn early on, because I thought if I didn't get underneath the sheets that, you know, I'm good to go. But he's right. So I would just wrap myself around the comforter and realize that that's the only thing that they do not
wash. To realize that those hairs are not yours.
Exactly. Exactly. Those brown curly hairs are not mine.
When I went online and I saw a reference to somebody talking about speaking J-speak.
Jaglish.
Janglish.
That's another one of the things the fans have made up. Supposedly, I put a W in front of every lyric that I sing, and I didn't realize that I was doing it, but they have... That's another weird thing that a fan gave me, a book of Janglish, like a dictionary of like how I sing, which... That's a little weird. That's a little weird.
How is that defined? I'm not really quite sure what it is you do.
What they do is they write my lyrics, but they put a W in front of all of the lines, because they think that I sing like that. Like, do I? Do I put a W in front of all the lyrics? But they call it Janglish. I don't know. See, it's weird.
There's some words where you sing where you start off with like a vowel or a sharp consonant where you soften it with a underneath.
That's what some, that's, yeah. I guess that's what Janglish is.
But it's
is.
Not even that big of a...
Thanks for that, Bryce. I feel better about myself now.
What are your plans for the next 6 months or so?
Our plans are to keep touring. We're going to finish this tour. This tour has gone extremely well. And then we're going to try to hook up a tour through the spring. And then in the fall, I think we're just going to get back in the studio. Or not right away, but I'm going to start writing and we're going to start thinking about it.
Can you write on the road?
I can write music on the road. I have a hard time writing lyrics on the road. I feel like there's so much going on and so much distraction, and I kind of have ADD, so the road is a bad place for me because I have a hard time focusing. But music, like, you know, musically speaking, we always kind of come up with new jams and stuff in soundcheck, but I need to kind of get my headspace together when I get home, and that's when I write most of my lyrics.
I have a kind of unorthodox question for you here, and that is that I have this theory that everybody's got a good story about throwing up. Figure musicians must have spectacular stories. So I'm just wondering if you do.
About throwing up?
Jason made me laugh one time so hard in Boston that I threw up.
It was at Cheesecake Factory.
It was at Cheesecake Factory, and I threw up, and I was so embarrassed that I ran.
He just ran, and we didn't know where he went, and we sat there, and we're like, we might get in trouble because there's puke all over the table. But seriously, I must have said something really funny because you just lost it.
Yeah, why don't you tell him what you said? It was pretty funny.
I don't remember what I said, but it must have been pretty funny.
Okay. You threw up from laughing too hard?
Well, yeah. I've never done that. It was like some sort of reflex.
Have you ever like taken a sip of water or something and then like someone says something and it goes through your nose? I think that's what happened.
Yeah. But yeah, it hurt. It burned.
You don't want to hear my throw-up story. I got really sick a while ago, you know, where you're puking plus your stuff's coming out other places at the same time. And, yeah, you know what, I don't want to talk about it, but it wasn't pleasant. It sucked. And I was, like, in a really dingy hotel, so that just made it worse.
You had the poopies, right?
I had the wetties, so to speak.
Oh, my God.
And, Rick, what about you?
I don't have any puke stories. Actually, I do have a puke story. Recently, we were at the airport leaving L.A., and I watched this lady walk off the plane, and I saw her start to blow chunks a bit. And I thought I had a pretty strong stomach, but I watched her puke, and then
puked.
I, like, started to heave.
It was like Stand By Me, and then I started
These guys
puke.
Are all laughing at me, though. Everyone was laughing, and I was like, quit laughing. I started to hurl. It was crappy.
Sympathetic vomiting?
Pretty much.
You have answered everything I wanted to talk about. Was there anything you wanted to talk about? Or anything you say, they never ask us about this. I really want to talk about whatever.
I can't think of anything. Okay. I think we've talked about a lot of important stuff and weird
stuff.
A lot of
strange stuff.
Which is always fun.
Buy more Lifehouse records.
Good idea.
It's surprising how few people ever plug their own band. All right, I think that does it. Thanks. Cool.